Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 319.
It's my birthday.
What's that?
319.
Oh.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, I knew we'd get to these numbers eventually.
Oh, I didn't get you anything.
It's just like the same thing you got me last year.
Every other birthday. If only I had known, I could have not gotten you something on purpose.
It's your presence, Tom.
Instead of by accident.
Literally. Not like presents, but right. Like your presence.
Tom Snark is like a 365 birthday gift.
It's like it's around me all the time.
It's like a tick. I can't turn it off. It's,
I have to burn it off.
Yeah. Even then, it would just get snarky at the match. You know,
just like how it just blows it out.
Call that sulfur.
I like how he's snarky so much, though, that he goes 5 degrees extra around you.
Perfect. You have to.
He goes around 360, but then 5 more degrees.
Yeah, just to piss you off.
It would buy me because we were talking birthdays.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that makes sense, I guess. I don't know. I was told there would be no math.
Yeah.
So now I'm all thrown off. Where are we at? Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we have a guest with us this week.
Hi, this is Matt.
And you were on an episode a million years
ago. Yeah, it was Civil War, I believe.
You were on an episode so long ago, it was actually
the Civil War. Yeah,
it was the main event starring Barbara Streisand. And
that's the movie that John Peters became her hairdresser.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what got him into Hollywood?
That's what got him into Hollywood.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The only reason, Kevin Smith tells that great John Peters story, and that's how he said it. That's how he figured it out.
But yeah, that's Barbara Streisand and Ryan
Gosling.
No. I'm pretty sure it's before his time.
Reynolds.
Dang it.
Sullivan. I don't know.
You're just making.
We'll
it's
look
like
it
a
up.
Big, huge star.
We'll look
I can't remember
O'Neil.
His name.
Continue and we'll look
Ryan
it up.
O'Neill. That's what
I said.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say it.
How do you not remember Ryan O'Neill, who's in your favorite movie?
I know. That's why I was blanking. I was like, he's from Paper Moon. How do I not? Yeah. So just real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. And so people who were also kind enough to join the League of Show Sharers this week.
Does Matt sing the songs since Dan's out?
He's
the closest connection.
Oh, no.
Yeah, since you're friends, falls to you. So you're just going to have to hope there are no new League of Show Sharers.
Oh,
so
here.
You're...
Matt's in charge of this, too, right?
What is that, the maraca?
This is Dan's eyes.
It's...
Dan would want you to be here for him, not censoring, but whenever we get into some muddy topics.
This is to put you back on track.
Yeah. That's the sound of him rolling his eyes.
Yeah.
So we need to
find like an audio file. Like there's the Bagawk, and then there's the Dan groan.
I can find quite a few ISOs.
I'm sure that shouldn't be hard.
That won't be a difficult...
Let's see if I can do it. Wait a minute.
That's pretty close. Yeah.
Nice.
I feel like you've heard that a few times.
Probably. I'm sure when I was talking his ear off at some point, he's like, get to the point.
I will tell you, though, just because I've listened and edited so many of these, it's not so much breathy. It's that, like, he gives that little groan.
He sounds
too.
Like one of Marge's sisters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
People who were kind enough to share the show this week, which you can do at our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers.
Everyone's doing it, actually.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah.
here is a list of cool kids. Librarian Cynthia, Chris James, Tammy Sherman Powers, Jason Herndon, Griffin Fox Smith, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Travis Tewitt, Chris Sanders, Brad Hyen.
That's getting edited out.
Wow. Yeah.
Timmy Two Soons, Chris Man,
Magic Man.
Jason Weese, Linnea Thunsell, Bud Vogtlin.
That's a new
hello,
one.
I'm
no,
hello,
he's, a, he's been on here a couple times.
Has he?
Yeah, Zach Bach. You always got to slow down on that one. Zach Bach.
Zach Bach.
Or Zach Bach. Tom Comiskey, Chris Sansochi, Troy Anspaugh. I don't know if I said that right. Okay.
I feel like that needs to have an onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
Whatever,
right,
like,
right.
Visually in front of us should just.
Richard Lawson, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming.
He's nice, too.
What's that?
He is nice.
He is also nice, yeah. And then, he told us, is it Cherry or Sherry?
I think it's Sherry.
Sherry Vondelariz, I hope I'm saying that
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
And but her Facebook name was the same 2 weeks in a row, so points for that.
Congratulations, which I thought you'd only do like 30 days at a time.
Yeah, so thank you. That makes it easier on me. And Brandon Coleman. So thank you very much, guys, in the gender-neutral sense of the word, for sharing the podcast with your friends and or loved ones. So... I guess that's it for all that shenanigans. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do? We're doing these still?
Yeah.
Every once in a while. We're not doing Happy Death Day didn't come out this week, so it's fine.
Yeah, there you go. This is kind of a surprise for this one. So the movie of the day is number one, which is not surprising, but... $28.5 million.
They cannot be happy with that.
That's sad.
$150 million budget.
Yeah.
So this is my question about
this. Like A- cinema score, but then like Rotten Tomatoes 90%. Yeah. I mean,
Vangelis is playing a sad trombone.
is there love for this movie that is outside, like that makes that next jump?
No.
You know? Like we talk about it
with
Star Trek.
Every person that loves it went on Friday or Thursday at 7 p.m.
Right.
And then never...
Like we've said that about Star Trek and Godzilla and those King Kong movies.
There's
a ceiling.
There are no casual fans of this franchise.
That's the way I think.
Right.
And like I appreciate that they made a sequel because I would say I'm a casual fan, and we'll get into this movie and what I thought about that, but... It was a weird franchise to do a sequel to.
Well, it wasn't a franchise.
It was a weird movie to do a sequel to.
But I think with Star Wars... For example,
Star Trek.
Right, that
or Star Trek,
but this is more Star Trek than Star Wars.
I'm not even talking about the content of the film. I'm talking about the fan.
No,
base.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like Star Wars transcends Star Trek. I think is a little.
But even Star Trek has
the new ones
has more casual fans.
The new
I would
ones.
Agree.
Well, not only that, but that was a reboot. So this one kind of requires that you've seen
the
original. Yeah. So
but
if you're talking
I meant
about
the old ones, not the reboots. Like the reboots obviously are more accessible now.
Right.
But I think there are people that are certainly diehards of Star Trek or Star Wars. But then there are people that like, I watch them and I enjoy them. And that's the extent. And if there's a new one, I'll go see it. I don't think Blade Runner has that.
I don't think they do. I think you love it.
I think
that's it.
I think Gosling was the...
The draw.
That was the one that if people were going to go see it, you know, because I was like, oh, I'm going to see Blade Runner. I told Katie, my wife, and she's like, no, I don't want to go. I'm like, Ryan Gosling's in it. She's like, ooh, no, I'm not going. Like, she had no interest.
My wife wasn't enough.
Yeah. My wife is the same way. Like, she is a huge boner for Ryan Gosling. And I was like, you know what? I don't blame you.
How many stitches?
500.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't blame you. Like I get it.
Yeah.
But
no interest.
None whatsoever.
Yeah, same thing here. And I didn't even tell her it was 3 hours long.
It's 2:45.
Yeah. Well, you add the trailers on there. You're
that's
there for,
true.
You're
yeah.
there for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. We went
but,
friend
yeah.
of the show and Brian Spath and myself went to like an 8 o'clock show. And we got out and we're just like, son of a bitch. Yeah. It's late.
I went to a 10:15 show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But think about this, though. Gosling hosted SNL for the season opener to promote this.
Yeah.
And obviously, that's why he's there. You know, it has him in it.
Papyrus. Sketch of the year.
That was the best thing. That was a horrible episode.
I had bits and pieces that I enjoyed. OJ was this week.
Yeah,
OJ was Gal Gadot this week?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but that Gosling episode, I watched the whole thing. I almost wanted to turn it off. I kept watching it. I'm like, that was
I liked the return of the alien abduction lady.
Yeah. Oh, that was
a great sketch.
That was fine.
Only
yeah.
because her ability to make Gosling lose his mind.
As she's putting her head up in his butthole. Yeah. Like,
last time I did this, I got a double barrel of pink guy.
Oh my gosh, no.
But Papyrus was the best.
Yeah.
That
oh, absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. But anyway, yeah, so think about that. With all that promotion, with the big SNL, you know, it's got Harrison Ford in it, you know, coming off his return to Star Wars, and now he's...
His return and departure.
Well, right, yeah. Spoilers.
Yeah, sorry.
You've had time.
But yeah, $28.5 million on the $150. So.
It's a shame because that... Not so much the property, but that director deserves better. Like,
yeah.
That dude...
Yeah, and he's not going to be scathed by it.
I just hate to think that this is going to teach Hollywood, don't make smart sci-fi.
When he's done it twice, right? Like, Arrival was him.
Yeah, but that made a lot of money.
But Arrival did well.
Yeah. But it's also...
This isn't
going to
be
sci-fi.
On him, though, because the critics, because of, you know, the people that are seeing it really enjoy it. It's not like he managed to fail in making a sequel to Blade Runner. Like, right. He didn't fail. Not obscure, but outside of the sci-fi fans, Blade Runner is not a mainstream film.
Yeah, I think they thought because it's so old and it's so revered that it had picked up fans enough to justify.
I got to tell you, I don't think it's that. I'm not a huge fan of that first movie.
Save it.
I'm going to, but like, it's not.
And Matt Reeves is going to punch you, but save it.
No, not at all. No. Oh. I was trying to equate this to Tron Legacy. You know what I mean? I was trying to think of a sequel
that's
to
a
movie that's so old that kids today probably hadn't seen the first one.
I think that's a really good comparison.
Whereas, and we can get into this later when we talk about the movie, but Tron Legacy kind of works on its own. Like, I mean, you can, if you're a kid and watch it, you could probably just enjoy it for what it is.
You don't need to see
without
the first
saying
one.
That this one.
I don't know that anybody could truly enjoy it.
You mean Legacy or the first one?
Well, talk about kids having nightmares when they see that Jeff Bridges CG.
That first opening,
right? Like, reading the story.
Right, that's right.
Was that
the early, like...
That was, like, one of the first de-aging.
Right.
So creepy. But anyway, yeah, so we'll get into both Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049, as I never realized you were supposed to pronounce it. Like, all the director and actors all say Blade Runner 2049.
But the commercials, they say Blade Runner.
Do they?
They say 2049. Okay.
Because I've only ever said 2049, but they're like, Blade Runner 2049.
When I was watching SNL last week, I was like, Ryan Gosling
he says
2049.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then they rolled right into a commercial, and the voiceover guy says 2049.
That's weird. Okay, because I've heard...
What does it matter?
I've heard... I just think that whenever you see, especially in sci-fi, you think of the date going 2049.
Right.
Like, that's just what, you know. But
like,
I heard if
you refer to September 11th as 911, you're an idiot.
Right.
That's true.
So I heard the director say 2000, you know, before those shorts, I think he's like, you know, in his French accent, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to spare
Good
you.
Call.
But, you know, he goes, you know, Blade Runner 2049. Gosling says 2049. I'm like, oh, so all the creatives and people involved are saying the whole thing, but that seems so... weird to say.
That's
like,
a lot of words.
It is. But we'll get into that and 2049 a little bit later. But coming in at number two, the film that you've read Brad Hyens' review for multiple times probably, My Little Pony the Movie, opened to $10 million.
I did like that friend of the show, Steve Kelly, said, one day you won't be the NFG anymore.
Yeah.
And you won't have to go see these.
The FNG.
That's right. Yeah. Well, the NFG. Okay,
well,
so
he's
I do it the other way. I've always said it the other way.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but yes, whenever that happens, you won't have to sit through these movies anymore. Poor Brad.
No, but he honestly, if you haven't checked it out yet, go to reviewstl.com. Brad had to sit through this movie. I had to sit through this
movie. He texted me and he was like, hey, you should go see it. We'll do a podcast on it. I'm like, no.
The guy's trying. We tried to talk Steve Kelly into it when we went to see Blade Runner. And Steve Kelly's like, nope, I'm busy that night. I'm like, you can see it like anytime in the next week. And then, you know, and he's like, But anyway, so go read the review at reviewstl.com. He does a really good job of trying to write a serious, in-depth review.
Didn't you run into somebody at Blade Runner?
No, I don't think so.
You didn't run into anybody important when you saw Blade Runner?
Brad Hyens was there.
Yeah, that's it? Just that guy?
Oh, did you mean Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy. That's the guy I'm talking about.
No, it was pretty cool. So
did you see him twice in 1 week?
It's bizarre. Yeah.
How did you not get a bumper for real spoilers?
How did you not get a restraining order?
Oh, good Lord. I was not. No. Hey,
let me put this phone in your face.
Let me
record this real quick.
So real quick. So story was that last week I went to see those two movies. I saw Battle of the Sexes and I saw American Made. So I went out to the concession stand area. My wife and I sat at the booths. You know, we had a half hour to kill. I saw Jeremy Housewright and his wife Sarah walked in. We talked to them, chatted them up for, you know, 20 minutes. So 10 minutes till the movie. I go back as they go to their film. We sit down. And I'm like, okay, it's going to start in 10. We've got reserved seats, but you want to just mosey in there? And Katie's like, yeah, just 1 minute. And she still wanted to hang out on her phone. And then 3 minutes pass, whatever, we get up. And there in the concession stand is James Gunn. Like, what are the chances? I mean, for those of you that don't know, he's from St. Louis.
Yeah, he grew up here.
His family's here, you know. So he comes back to visit. I didn't want to bother him. I honestly, like, talking to Tom... Tom's like, he's not going to care.
I was like, how many people recognize James Gunn? Like, I mean, visually on site. They might know the name, but I'm like, he's internet famous. And that, with all due respect to James Gunn, like, I don't mean that as a shot, but he's not a guy that walks down the
he's
street.
Not Spielberg.
Where people point out, like, oh my God, there's a big famous movie director.
But my problem wasn't even like, obviously I saw that people weren't jumping all over him for autographs or anything. It wasn't that, but he was in the concession stand line with his girlfriend, fiance. There were like three or four lines of concessions going and he was standing it. And so I thought if I was like, oh, hey, Mr. Gunn, you know, how's it going? You know, and I've interviewed his brother and I helped him with a fundraiser he did. So like, if I was like, hey, you know, I did that and how are you doing? You know, and just said hi to him. I thought the three lines around him would mob him and he's out on a date. I didn't want to bother him, you know? Saw the movie, kind of kicked myself because I'm like, oh, it would have been cool to have a selfie, but no big deal. And then I tweeted Adam Lehrer that I saw him just because I'm like, I have to at least say something and said, hey, you know, I saw you and didn't want to bother you, but hope you enjoyed the movie. And he was really cool. He responded back and he's like, hi, I wouldn't have minded, but thanks, you know? And so I'm like, okay, cool.
In your defense, you hear stories all the time of famous people who were just like, ugh.
I know. Right? And like, I didn't want to be that guy.
I'm public. Like, I'm with my family.
And my take was, like, that's probably a novelty for him. Like, I don't, because he's not. Like, he's not in front of the camera.
Right.
So people aren't as apt to recognize him on
site. It's not a knock. We all think he's a great filmmaker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We love James Gunn. It's not a knock. Tom's just saying, like, when Joe says he's not Spielberg, it's not quality of films. It's the look. Like, he's
correct.
Not the...
Right. When you see Spielberg walk down the street, you're going to see Steven
there
Spielberg.
There are... I mean, I can only think of two living directors that I think the average person would recognize on site.
Abrams.
No, not even.
Oh,
Abrams.
With that nose, yeah,
yeah. No, it would be.
Who would it be? Spielberg,
Spielberg, and Quentin Tarantino. Yeah.
No, what about Scorsese?
Woody Allen. That's a distinct look.
Okay, but Woody Allen's known, but they would not recognize him as the director Woody Allen. They would recognize him as the
creeper,
performer Woody Allen,
Kevin Smith,
because he's been in front of the camera so much. But again, that's a guy who's been in front of the camera.
That's true.
Like, I'm talking about directors who don't get in front of the camera. Sure. And
Tarantino's been in front of the camera.
Oh, plenty of times.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, but he's all it's.
But you're right.
But they're more extended cameos than they are, you know.
So anyway, so I tweeted at him. He said that would have been cool. So I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. And again,
so he shows up to his house.
Yeah, right. But, you know, and again, I mean, it's like.
I found out where his folks live.
Again, I've interviewed directors. You know, I mean, like I said, I helped Sean Gunn with a fundraiser. Like, I'm not nervous to talk to him, but I'm like, I'm not going to do that to this guy in the concession stand. He tweets that, and I'm like, oh, cool. So next time I see him, I'll just say hi, right? So I go to Blade Runner, and me, Steve Kelly, Brad Hyen, you know, friends that people recognize from the League of Show Shares, we had this plan for a week to go to this movie. So we went to the 7 p.m. show, and I'm waiting for Devin, also who's been on the show, friend of the league, and he walks in, and I'm like, hey, Devin, I have his ticket, and we're last one we're waiting on. I was going to head back to the theater. Behind Devin is James Gunn. And I'm like, you're freaking kidding me. We're in St. Louis. We're not in L.A., right? I don't think when I go to my local theater, I'm going to see James Gunn, director of one of the biggest movies of the year, right?
Two of the biggest, yeah.
Well, but sure, this year, absolutely. You know. And so the next week, he's at my theater again. So I'm like, okay, he gave me the okay. Like, I'm not bothering him. So he walks
you're
in.
You're like, I have it in writing. Yeah, so if he says anything, he's got the tweet up. Yeah. And he's like, you look here, you son
you
of a bitch.
You said I could do this.
You said I could do this.
You said it was okay.
But, you will love me.
But no, he was super nice.
Put me in your movie.
So he walks in behind Devin. You know, we're standing there. And like, I mean, if we would have let, Devin would have came 1 minute earlier, we'd be in the theater, right? So he walks up and I'm like, I saw you last week. I tweeted at you and tried to keep it casual, let him get to his business. So I'm like, would you mind if I got a picture with you? And I was wearing a Star-Lord shirt that I had bought the day of.
It was because you knew you were going to see him there. Okay, here's what. I don't want to interrupt your story. Yeah. But okay.
No, it's what
earlier
we do.
Earlier that day, he had tweeted out a story about, or he was at his parents' house, and he had adjusted all their TVs to turn down the high def, you know, the
soft.
Yeah. So when I saw that tweet and I was like, oh, wow, he's still in St. Louis. And then later that day that you posted that picture, and I was like, oh, I'll bet you Kevin saw that same tweet, said he's still in St. Louis. He said he was going to go see Blade Runner that night. And he went out and got a Star-Lord shirt. That's what it is.
If you want to believe that, that's fine. There's no way.
I will say, in Kevin's defense, which I rarely do, how the odds of him knowing, he wouldn't have no way of knowing which movie theater he would be going to.
It was the same one.
Yeah, but in St. Louis,
the other movie was at a different theater.
No,
right?
This was the same theater.
Oh, okay, then I'm back on Matt's side.
Oh my God. I had nothing on that one. But anyway, so got a picture with him. He thought it was really cool, though, because he pointed out to his, I'm not sure if they're girlfriend or fiance, but you know, he pointed out, he said, hey, look at that shirt. He got a kick out of it. He really liked the shirt. And I was like, can I get a quick picture? He said,
because he made 45 cents.
That's right. Yeah.
Every time he sells one of those.
But he got a picture, and you know, I just said, hey, how's it going? And I helped your brother with that fundraiser. He's like, yeah, I saw that, and just chatted with him for a minute. Seeing
like, Jesus, you've said it six times since I've been standing here.
No, I never talked to him before. But I'm just saying, like, chatted with him for a couple minutes, and then he took pictures with a few of my friends that were there with me, and they were like, hey, enjoy the movie. And that was it. So, like, super nice guy. He's one of those guys, and maybe it's a testament to, like Tom said, like, he's not getting hounded all the time, but
yeah,
really polite, really friendly guy, did not mind taking pictures.
He seems like the kind of, he seems like a dude.
Yeah,
and what I mean by that is just like, he's just like, yeah, let's do it. Like,
he seems like a dude, not a bro.
Not a bro.
Yes.
Right. Yes. No. That's the distinction.
But you could
he's
tell,
not going to the Broverlord.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. You could tell, though, like, I mean, if you see the pictures, like mine and the ones of my friends, he's smiling like a real smile, a genuine, friendly.
I really don't think that he gets recognized out on the street. All
I also think
there's a novelty to it.
He has that Midwestern, not to crap on anybody else in the part of the country. No.
Except we're the best. Go on.
I think folks that have come out of the Midwest have this,
like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm famous.
Yes. You're not born under the Hollywood sign.
Yes. Like, you're just like, this is awesome. Like, this is so cool.
I know, like, when I was in radio a million years ago, like, I would get recognized.
Still have that?
They did a million years ago.
Perfect, okay.
And I would get recognized every once in a while when I was out.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh. And I made it middays on a very popular radio station.
I guess that's very true. Like, we've had J.C. Corker on the show. We've had Donnie Fandango. And those are all guys that I was just like, it's J.C. Corcoran. Like,
yeah, and I'm not saying I inspired that sort of. People were like, oh, hey, you're on The Rock. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and maybe they thought I was on crack looking back.
I think they thought you were The Rock.
Yeah.
They thought
similar.
That's true. I was bald even then. But I mean, so, and it was kind of like, I wasn't like, get away from me. I was like, that's cool.
That's cool.
I can't believe somebody cared enough.
That's pretty cool,
you know.
But anyways,
I got recognized for being on the podcast out once.
What?
By a listener? Yeah,
really.
At Wizard World, shockingly. Yeah. Somebody was like, now I feel bad because
it was me.
No, it wasn't you. You don't count.
In the booth.
I know you from radio days. So, but
you know Matt from radio days.
Yeah,
you
guys with Woody Allen. He was Seth Green. Didn't you know that?
I mean, obviously, I know Dan and Matt have known each other for a long time, but you knew Matt back then too.
Yeah, he did. He would enter a lot of the, like, the Point would always do a design, the logo contest.
That's right. You did.
And he would enter under a fake name.
Yeah, because you can't win, like, more than once or something like that. So I entered a fake name and then went again.
So
and
win every
I couldn't
time.
Believe that Tom remembered that. He came up to my booth.
Yeah, I remember
at Wizard World about 2-3 years ago. And said, oh, Roy G. Biv. You remembered one of the fake names
that's
that
the name
I did.
You used? That's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I was like blown away. I was like, how do you remember? That was like 20 years ago.
Because you did great stuff.
Oh, awesome.
You know?
That's
and
cool.
My friend Mark designed the logo for Real Spoilers, but Matt designed the logo for the podcast that my wife and I do.
Oh, nice.
Called The Clip Out, and which is all about it.
Well,
thank you. That's casual.
Well, I plugged Battle of the Sexes episode on The Clip Out.
Oh, did you?
Week, so
that's a good.
So
yeah,
fair enough.
You can suck it. but he designed the logo for The Clip Out, so you can go look at that on iTunes. The Clip Out, and you can see his logo.
He also designed the logo for the League of Show Sharers.
That's
don't
right.
forget.
Oh, that's right.
Chicken every
chicken,
time so
peacock.
Matt did design that awesome chicken with the peacock.
Yeah, so I'm you know, so
I'll plug my site later.
Yeah, go for it. Oh, you do it now, that way don't go to the end.
That's right. Oh yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Matt Reedy 219.
There we go. So
219.
219.
Okay.
That's right.
Just wanted to clarify.
There's 219 Matt Reedy's?
No, 218.
Yeah, oh, he's 19. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, sorry.
Well, you forgot about Matt Reedy zero.
That's how counting that's works.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it would, because the first one doesn't have a number behind it, and someone probably put a one. The second person put a one. So
okay. Yeah.
Joe was correct.
I'll allow
Stop
it.
Stop trying to.
That's happened to me twice.
Yeah. God, Joe was right. I defended Kevin, but I did back off that.
You did. You, I did. You retracted quickly.
I did instantly back off.
I knew
off.
That right. would not last long. I don't have many. But anyway, thank you, James Gunn. Totally cool guy. So I really, just for people that wonder, like, is James Gunn as cool as he seems on Facebook?
Yes.
He's very casual, very fun guy.
I said he was at the Target by my house rearranging the. So Marvel does these bitchin' action figures, and they just, I guess they put them out in groups, so they did a
Groots
yeah, yeah, they did a whole Guardians 2 line, and he went to the Target by my house and he was rearranging all of the figures so the Guardians figures were out first.
Yeah.
And just, he was just like, no, this is fine.
And did you see what he's inspired?
No.
So like, I saw over the last couple days on Twitter since he posted that one, I guess that was a week ago now, but I keep seeing him pop up on Twitter, people all over St. Louis and probably around the country. I guess this wouldn't be St. Louis specific, but people keep tweeting at him, I fixed my Target.
Oh, nice.
And then he likes and retweets them.
That's hilarious.
Oh,
that's
so great. If you go to James Gunn's Twitter, and it probably shows you like who he's retweeted, but there are just tons of people going and rearranging.
Those figures are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they like the, I know Star Wars had the black line, which was like they're more, like they're not super expensive like the Sideshow, but like they're still more detailed.
They're definitely detailed. I just picked Brian actually just, so Brian and I both are constantly like, hey, which one are you looking for? Hey, which one are you looking, so he picked me up.
Aww.
Yeah.
Are these the ones that come with like a piece of another figure? So what's the chase figure that you, the build-a-figure?
I don't do that. That's Spath. That's Brian's. Brian's Spath is going after the chase figure.
That's what Rick and Morty figures do too.
Yes.
You build Snowball in his mechanical max. Right.
So I go after the characters that I like.
Mm.
So he found a Colossus figure that I was looking for. Nice. But yeah, so I was like, hey, do you got this Moon Knight? And he was like, yeah, I already bought it. I was like, all right, good. I didn't want to pay for it. So those, they're good. If you are a figure nerd, they're fantastic. They're
apparently they're on the front row.
They are.
They're on top of every other figure, ones.
So I almost bought the Guardians ones because
James Gunn touched them.
Because they come with Ego.
The figure is Ego,
and they have one head that is Kurt Russell. And I was just like,
he just wants Kurt Russell's head.
I just want the Kurt Russell Ego. That's all
they
I want.
They should have it where you have to build Ego as the planet.
The whole planet.
You have to buy 100 figures to be able to get enough pieces to build the planet.
Look, I got half of a tree.
Yeah. Great.
Oh, man.
Now I got to buy the random prisoner that was in the jail.
While we're talking about James Gunn stuff, though, real quick, is we should probably talk in slightly related James Gunn news that the guy from Alyota Haynes and Jeremiah passed away. Skip Haynes, and he sang what was the song that they used in
Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
And he actually recorded a special version of the song.
And he was the guy that sang Real Spoilers.
Where he says Real Spoilers.
I got to tell you, I thought that was you. I thought you said it and they digitally
worked it.
Okay.
He legit sang
that for us.
RIP. That's a shame.
Yeah. So, which was nice of him.
It was very nice.
And that was the cool St. Louis nod that James Gunn, being from St. Louis, put in the movie where other people wouldn't have.
He didn't know.
I didn't know that until you said that. I thought that song was massive.
Yeah. So that song, Lakeshore Drive by Alyota Haynes and Jeremiah, you get about 15, 20 seconds of it. And the
opening scene of Guardians 2.
Yeah. And so he loves his 70s music. Well, that is a huge song in St. Louis and it's a fairly well-known song in Chicago. But outside of those two cities, that song means nothing to anybody. And because it was. There's a station in town called Keishi.
Longest running rock radio station in the country.
Correct. And they have a lot of songs that get referred to locally as Keishi classics, of songs that are big in St. Louis that really don't matter anywhere else. And bands that kind of fall into that camp are like Moxie, Gypsy, Hartsfield, J.D. Black. Sammy Hagar is obviously known other places, but when Sammy Hagar comes to St. Louis, he sells like 17,000 to 19,000 tickets.
Sell out Riverport.
He sells out the amphitheater every single time. Any other city, he's like 2,000 to 4,000 people. So like
he's like going to the Peabody somewhere
it's
else.
It's that big of a difference.
It is.
I mean, I know it was a difference.
It's massive.
Like I remember we had a show the same night, and I told the promoter when it got announced, or the agent that I bought it from, I was like, we need to be careful because Sammy Hagar's the same night. And they're like, well, you know, and I was like, St. Louis. I'm like,
Hagar Town.
He's going to sell 17,000 tickets. Yep. And the agent was like, you're full of it. They're like, that can't be a thing. And I was
fine.
Like,
test me, bro.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, Sammy sold out. And they were just like, we can't believe that. So
wow. I warned you.
So he had no clue that song wasn't a well-known.
That's funny.
People were like, what is this song? And he was like,
what do you mean, what is this song?
Yeah, like, I think he was initially making fun of them for not knowing that. And then they were like, no, dude, that only matters in your hometown. So,
and he loved it.
Yeah. And it was great that he used it anyway.
It was.
Yeah,
it's
Chicago,
it's a good song.
It is a good
song. It's a great song.
Yeah. So,
R.I.P.
Maybe we should play it at the end, our special
there
version.
There you go.
That'll be our outro song so people can hear it again. So,
you can go to iTunes, not our version, but you can go to iTunes, buy it. Buy it six, seven times.
Yeah. Joe will be selling our version of the back of his car.
On a CD.
Yes.
One song on a CD.
His one song mixtape.
On a single.
On a single.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the box office. Number three, The Mountain Between Us. That is the Idris Elba, is it Kate Winslet?
Yep.
Film?
Yeah.
Yep. That made just a little less than My Little Pony. That's something that you always love to hear when your movie comes out.
Man, that guy can't catch a break. I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Well, he's got Thor 3 coming up, so.
Yeah, but that's not him.
That's not
him.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Yeah. He is in it.
Well, apparently, though, he was saying, he's like,
I want to do something else. Right?
He was like, I want to just, I couldn't tell. I just didn't read the article. I just read the headline, but he was like, he wants a bigger role. And I didn't know if that means he wanted to play a different character.
He wants to play a different character.
Or if he wanted that character to be bigger. But I'm like, I really don't know how you make that character
Make, Heimdall is centric to Thor. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So, The Mountain Between
he
Us.
He could be Black Lightning.
That's a DC character.
Fine.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, they got a he's got a TV show.
He does have
out.
His own TV show coming out.
Oh, that can't end well.
He's the no. Well, I don't know. The DC TV shows are good.
That's fair.
Like that's they haven't missed on that yet.
So that made $9.75 million opening weekend at a $35 million budget. So not quite the same as a.
I feel awful. I feel like he's gonna. I feel like he's treading on very thin ice, pun intended. Because if he has one more. "Quote unquote flop financially, I maybe Hollywood stops taking a chance on him.
I feel like he is kind of like Blade Runner, like the discussion we had about Blade Runner. Like people that know him, he's a great actor. People that watch Luther, people that watch The Wire, right? People that know him, I mean, he is a great actor, but he's not Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that name. So like, if you put him above the title on a poster,
right.
I don't know that Idris Elba, unless you know him already, like if that sells the tickets.
He had a crack at the opportunity and they effed him over with the Dark Tower.
Oh, yeah, right. That would have been his
that was going to be it.
Franchise
they,
if
they
it was good.
That up so bad.
Why was that not a gunslinger movie when the book is about the gunslinger?
And you have one of the most charismatic actors in Hollywood right now.
And you make it about the kid. That still frustrates me.
The annoying-ass kid.
It could have been so good. Yeah. I mean, maybe they were like, well, if this takes off, we can't afford Idris. Maybe we'll spin the kid off. I don't know what they were thinking.
You lock him in. And plus,
thank you.
Plus, I mean, no offense, but in the grand scheme of a film franchise, how expensive is Idris Elba really?
Right. Money can he possibly
I'm just trying to figure it out why they did what they did. It just it's frustrating, but I guess we'll never know. But The Mountain Between Us, 9.75 on a $35 million budget. Number four, It.
Yeah.
It's still sticking around with $9.5 million, a 44% drop in week five, $304 million. It is now the highest grossing horror film of all time.
Is that right?
Not with inflation though.
Well, I was gonna say, so The Sixth Sense, which obviously came out in
98. I think Exorcist is the
adjusted for inflation.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
like that's like $1 billion domestic.
Well, we just talked about it three episodes ago. Yeah, but I mean, Sixth Sense just beat it, and so even adjusted for inflation, I'm sure
can you see what Halloween is at? Because at one time that it was it.
I will.
Halloween was it.
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
But yeah. So it is now the highest grossing domestic unadjusted for inflation. It is at $305 million domestically, and it is another almost $300 million overseas. So right now it's approaching the estimates before the totals are in for this weekend. It's almost at $600 million on a $35 million budget.
So you talked about a Pennywise prequel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know it exists, right? In the script, in the Cary Fukunawa script, it's there. the prequel, the origin of Pennywise is in that script. So Warner Brothers already has.
Oh, so he already invented.
He already invented the origin of Pennywise.
I see.
So, and they were going to put that into the movie, like that was going to be a part of the flick.
So they're locked and loaded. Like
they've got that prequel ready to go.
Now,
Rhett, go.
Now you're talking about the original Halloween.
Yeah, 1978.
So the original Halloween, it opened to. They don't have opening weekend, but $47 million domestic on a $325,000 budget.
Yeah.
Back when budgets were in the hundreds of thousands.
Not even that. Like, I mean, you would, well, that's true. You probably wouldn't get a million, but I think half that budget went to Donald Pleasance. I'm not even kidding. Because they wanted Christopher Lee. John Carpenter wanted Christopher Lee, and Christopher Lee was like, no. And he had seen Carpenter since then, and Christopher Lee's like, I should have said yes. I made a mistake.
Oh.
But I'm interested to see what that is adjusted for inflation.
Not very high.
Horror,
I was expecting. There's just rated R adjusted here. So hold on, I have to do a search. I thought it would it took me to the top, and it's not even.
Ronald
at
Julian
the,
says you will not search it.
Yeah, Halloween is number 137 on the rated R adjusted for inflations. But there's a lot.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of rated R movies from over the years. $178 million would have been what it is
on $320,000.
Well, you'd have to adjust that but 178, but it still made 44, whatever we said, on a $300,000 budget. Oh, yeah. So
I mean, it would still be under probably $1 million
easily,
because I mean that's a little less than triple its gross. Triple, so right. If you take that same algorithm, then 300,000 will become 900,000.
I'd take it.
They had to use the same leaves. If you ever see that movie, they filmed it in California, but they set it in Haddonfield, Illinois. So the leaves that you see blowing around,
they recycled them.
So like they would cut, they would send out a bunch of bag them up and then use them again.
I've heard this story. Where have I heard that? And I don't think
probably from me.
I don't feel like, I don't know. Someone talked about it. That's pretty cool.
When you watch the movie, it's kind of funny to see lush green trees.
Yes. Yeah.
It was supposed to be late October.
They had to like strategically cut out, like when they're doing it, they have to cut out the palm trees. Because there's palm trees everywhere in California. They're trying to. Like,
I see. They filmed in California.
They set it in Haddonfield, Illinois.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's funny. So, good for it, though. I mean, seriously, almost $600 million on that $35 million budget.
So good.
5 weeks. That's incredible. Number five.
Or they could transfer that to their superhero movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number five, American Made, one of the movies from last week. $8.2 million, a 51% drop in week two. It is now at $30 million. It actually has quite a few bucks overseas. Foreign is,
of course it does. It's a Tom Cruise movie.
It's almost $70 million overseas though, so it's in the $90 million range on a $50 million budget. So in a couple of weeks, it's already making its money back. So that's good. I mean, not what they wanted, of course,
right.
But still, it's not going to be a huge loss or anything. So number six, Kingsman: The Golden Circle, the movie from a couple of weeks ago that I guess a few now that made $8 million on that's a 53% drop. It's at 79.8. We'll call it $80 million. That's on a $104 million budget, but luckily that one overseas is doing well. It's 140 overseas. So
I think this is the last, Mark Miller movie we see in theaters.
Oh, the movies are going to... They're not going to be series. They're going to be movies.
I think all of the Mark Miller series, I think this is the last one we'll see in theaters. Okay. Whether they do a TV show or do a movie or do whatever they're going to do.
Yeah.
But I think this is it.
So Netflix, Amazon releases theatrically, and then they'll stream it on their service with Prime or whatever.
I've ever seen Netflix release a movie in theaters.
I guess that's kind of their thing is...
No, I think Beast of No Nations.
That's right. Because they won an Oscar. You can't win the Oscar if you don't play in a theater for 2 weeks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they have to do it for Oscar.
When is that going to switch? You have to think that's going to switch, right?
There's just so many movies.
I guess it could win an Emmy for Best TV something.
I don't think it will switch because I don't think the Academy wants to become a TV thing.
What was the Korean movie they made earlier this year about the giant pig?
Okja.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That played at Cannes and apparently got booed when the Netflix logo came up on the screen. As the producer of the movie, Netflix, people booed it because it's not a quote unquote theatrical movie.
And you know what? Those are pretentious douchebags.
Yeah.
Like, there's that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think so.
But they'll take that Netflix money if somebody else has
right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Miller has properties out the wazoo that we're sitting in.
That sounds painful.
It probably is.
He needs to have those removed.
Have that checked out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
You don't want Big Daddy coming out your wazoo. Jeez.
Or in your wazoo.
Or in your wazoo. I know, yeah. Well, I wonder if. That's probably...
He's like, well, I do like Nick Cage.
Yeah, he's pretty cool doing his Adam West impression. But yeah, obviously Netflix signed up or locked up Miller World, which is all of Mark Miller's properties, with the exception of one, because he wanted to do a book with Stuart Eminem, who was an exclusive artist to Marvel.
Is that Eminem's first name? Stuart?
Stuart Eminem's.
Yeah. And he did. And
you can see why he dropped it. It's just not that
It's not as good. Yeah.
And he did make that movie, which Eminem was the...
Eminem, yeah. And Eminem was the...
I mean, not in the movie, wasn't
he? Was
but
the inspiration.
He was the inspiration.
Yeah.
The J.G. Jones was the inspiration. Yeah.
I mean, in the book, it looks just like Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem and Halle Berry.
Yeah.
So that's... I think that... Well, that's it for Mark Miller in theaters.
Makes sense. But so Kingsman with the overseas money, it's over about $220 on a $104 million budget. So it made money. I will be interested to see if they do that Channing Tatum spinoff. They're talking about doing a Statesman spinoff. So we'll see what happens with that one. But for now, we'll let it be. Number seven, the Lego Ninjago movie. I didn't get to see this one. Is anyone? Did you take your kids or anything?
Mm-mm.
I like the Lego movies. Like I would go see this. Just there's been so much coming out lately.
Forgotten son of the Lego movies.
Well, it's kind of their own thing. Like so, Lego licenses a lot. Obviously, Batman, and then you've got the Marvel stuff. They do a lot of like home video releases with the Lego, but. Licensed characters and Ninjago, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. I mean, Ninjago is their creation, so you know they don't have to pay any licensing fees.
Right.
So I mean, if they can make 6.6 million, 43% drop puts it at 43.6, about $44 million in 3 weeks. And they're not paying any licensing fees. I don't have a budget on it, but it's got another almost 30 overseas. So you're talking $70 million. I don't know what that costs to make,
but like when you look at that compared to the Lego Movie and Lego Batman.
Oh sure.
Oh
But it's also like you said, it's not a licensed property, and I think it will make kids more likely to want Ninjago Legos.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it's all designed to sell those toys. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we talked about that. I mean,
instead of it being like Ninjago, oh, that's like the poor kids. Now I saw that movie. I like it. Right. Like it's
starring Jackie Chan, Justin Theroux, Dave Franco, Olivia Munn, Michael Pena. I think Kamal Nanjiani's in it.
He is.
It's just they don't list him here, but I listened to him on an interview.
I just watched The Big Sick.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it?
So good. It's very fantastic, good. Yeah.
But so $70 million, they don't have to pay those licensing fees. Think about the Lego Movie and how many characters and properties. I mean, Batman's one thing; it's kind of contained.
Batman had all those other stuff too. You know, remember they had Lord of the Rings characters in there.
Doctor
Who. They had all kinds.
Yeah. No, that's true. But like the Lego Movie, I was thinking like they got Star Wars they had to do and Batman. You know, and like
all the DC stuff. Yeah, Harry Potter.
$70 million so far in a few weeks for that one. So good for them. I'd like to see it though because I mean I think Chris McKay is a producer on it.
Probably Lord and Taylor
and
too.
I think. So I mean, there's some kind of creative crossover. So hopefully it keeps with the same tone. Number eight, thank you. I do have that pulled up.
Tricky.
Yep. Number eight, Victoria and Abdul. Anyone see it?
No.
I'm not a 75-year-old woman.
Oh.
Yet.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Your time's coming, Tom. Your time's coming. Victoria and Abdul made $4.3 million, which is a 294% increase. So it's released a little wider now. I guess it opened at under 100 screens. It's now at 732. That gives it $6.1 million in 3 weeks. And let's see, $22 million overseas.
Holy cow.
So guess it's been...
Where's that from? Does it say?
It's probably Britain.
Yeah.
It's a British... It's about Queen Victoria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Paula Abdul.
Yes, exactly. And Paula Abdul.
Abdullah the Butcher. There's a wrestling reference for today.
Ah.
So it's...
First of many.
Yeah. I was getting worried.
So it stars Judi Dench and Eddie Izzard.
Of course it stars Judi Dench.
It's
the law.
Exactly. That's
how many times has she played Queen Victoria?
All of them.
Yeah, I was going to say pretty much all. I think of Shakespeare in Love, and then there must have been at least another time.
Is Eddie Izzard trans?
He looks like a woman.
Okay.
I think he is. Like he's,
I think he's always he walked he that line.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
But I mean, I'm pretty sure he's, So I wonder, I don't know anything about this movie other than what you just said, though. Like,
Queen Victoria is hanging out with Abdul Kareem and like.
I think you mean Kareem Abdul.
No, I'm pretty sure it's
Jabbar, the basketball player.
I think you mean the star of Game of Death.
It's not called Victoria and Kareem.
That's fair.
But he opens her eyes to the problems of the world and she.
I think Tom just fell asleep.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that scene in Game of Death? Did you ever see that movie all the way through?
No.
So it's the last movie that Bruce Lee was making when he died. He was died while making it.
So they death than game.
It is definitely more death than game.
He was dying while making
He died.
He died. Yeah, yeah.
Which is super creepy considering how Brandon died, right?
Yeah. Oh, right, right.
He didn't die on set, though.
That's true. He died, correct. So,
oh, he didn't. See, I always thought.
No. He was over to some woman's house and he took heart, had a headache and then she gave him some pills and that was the end of it.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. Like, I thought it was much.
Anything. No.
Oh,
no.
My gosh.
It wasn't like Brandon getting shot on set.
I know. See, yeah. I mean, I always thought it was so terrible. Obviously, it's all terrible, but like the way that Brandon died, especially because his father, I thought he died on a movie set.
No.
He died taking the wrong pill.
He had a headache or something.
It wasn't even his fault.
And he had a heart attack, basically, is what
that
happened.
That is awful. I mean, that's more awful than I thought. Anyway, sorry.
So, throughout, he didn't film much of that movie. He filmed I don't know.
Oh, that's the one they finished?
That's the one they finished. And so the only
scene. That's not the one with the masks.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So, there are dudes walking around with, paper masks.
Paper Bruce Lee masks. That's what they finished.
But he walks across set. But the only scene that he filmed is the scene where he has to fight his way up, and the guy at the top of the building is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. But
he has to fight to the top of a. Isn't that what Dread was about?
Kind of. And so was the Raid.
Right. Yeah. And then the Raid, when they're locked down.
And
like,
about almost any action video game.
Yes. And he fights his way up to the boss, to the big boss, which is another Bruce Lee movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, R.I.P. Bruce Lee.
Indeed.
We still miss you.
We do.
Did you ever watch that thing? That
Which one?
Biopic?
Oh, no, I couldn't.
It just
it.
Came out, didn't it?
I couldn't remember. It looks so bad.
It was on VOD for the last few weeks.
Like Birth of the Dragon or something?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't watch it?
No.
I guess not.
No.
I just wonder if it's.
So you heard the controversy about that, right?
Remind me.
So it was supposed to be about. So there's this legendary fight between Bruce Lee and this other guy.
Yeah.
They make it about this white guy that was following Bruce Lee around. Like Bruce Lee was a side character in his own story.
Oh.
And it got out, and then they had to go back and recut the movie to make Bruce Lee
the main character
more prominent in his own movie.
That's weird.
WWE Films right there.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, there's so that explains
market,
it.
Market,
right.
That's two.
So, yeah. coming in at number 9, Flatliners, which is a remake of
I cannot believe, when I saw this I love Flatliners.
I've never seen it.
The first one is great. Like, it is a good little late 80s, early 90s horror flick.
I don't think I've ever seen it either.
It's Kiefer Sutherland at his Kiefer Sutherland best. It's great. It's a good flick.
Well, yeah, he was at the top of his game.
He was
tagging Julia Roberts.
Yes,
and
he
got her to appear in the movie.
Yes.
At the top of her game.
Also on the top of her game. That's true. I cannot believe the Hollywood coding that is on this. Because the original one wasn't mainstream. It was one of those that kind of flew under the radar, if I remember right. This looks so Hollywood glossy, and I like Ellen Page. I think Ellen Page is a great actress. This looked like dog poop.
Jeremy saw it.
Has anybody seen it?
No, just Jeremy, friend of the show, Jeremy Housewright, writer on Ruby STL as well. He saw it, and he's like, it is just bad. And there's some things. He kind of spoiled it. I don't think he realized he was, but he told me things about characters and stuff that happens, and I'm like, oh.
1990s when that came out.
Really? Okay. Yeah. No, he said it's not good, and it's not getting very good.
The one thing I was curious about, because I know...
Directed by Joel Schumacher, by the way.
Oh, the original.
Yeah,
this one.
Not this one.
That explains why Julia Roberts had nipples.
Yes.
Because I know Kiefer Sutherland has an appearance in this new one.
Yeah.
So is he playing the same character, or is it just making this a pseudo-sequel, or is it just... We're putting him in there as a wink.
Yeah, I would think, because I'm thinking it's a reboot, so
then it's a wink.
Then it would have to be kind of a homage. But
you don't get much more 90s than Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon, William Baldwin. That's where his name is just a little bit bigger than Billy Baldwin's, and Oliver Platt. That's the most 90s cast you're going to get.
That's pretty 90s.
Yeah.
Billy Baldwin and William Baldwin are the same person.
No. Wait. So
Billy?
Yeah, but there's Alec, who's the cream of the crop.
Right.
And then there's
Billy Baldwin is William.
It's the same guy.
So who's the one in Biodome?
That's Stephen Baldwin.
Is he the real conservative one?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Yeah. So, Billy Baldwin is.
Oh, is that right?
And then maybe they both are, but I know Billy Baldwin.
I think they both are.
And then there's
Alec is not.
Daniel Baldwin.
Oh, Daniel Baldwin.
I forgot about him. Guy from John Carpenter's Vampires.
Oh, that's right.
Who literally looks like this was before Alec kind of. puffed up a little bit.
Like, if you watch Beetlejuice, Alec Baldwin, it's like, whoa, like, he is slim as can be.
He was a dreamy super hunk. Oh, he was going to be the next Harrison Ford.
Yeah. He was going to be Batman. Yeah. And I was like, nah, you can be the Shadow.
But,
but yeah, so if you look at Daniel Baldwin, you're just like, who ate Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
This was before that.
Kim Basinger.
Yeah. I think it was the other way around.
You rude,
yeah.
obnoxious little pig.
Oh, my God. Talk about steering out of the curve.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Man, I mean, that guy.
He came out of, like, he was like,
even when I heard that phone call, I'm just like, anybody who's mad at that phone call doesn't have a teenager.
That's also true.
I never understood that one because, I mean, there's a complete difference between the Alec Baldwin phone call and the Mel Gibson phone call, right?
Right.
So, like, kids do stuff that make you frustrated, and if you're being a rude, obnoxious little pig, like if your kids,
I feel he didn't say anything rude, obnoxious.
The pig part
is a little much.
The pig is just flat out name calling. Yeah, right. That's and
rude, obnoxious. I've called my 6-year old rude and obnoxious,
right.
And I've called your 6-year old a pig. But I'm not her dad.
But that's fine.
Yeah. So if your kid was being that bad, and the worst thing you say is you're a rude, obnoxious little pig, like maybe your kid's being a piece, right?
He didn't say a really bad word at all.
That's what I mean.
He didn't call her a C-word.
Or even the B-word.
That's what I mean. So we've seen so anyway. So it's like that
Mel
was
Mel Gibson straight up denied that the was, Holocaust.
That's a whole different thing. Like
no, my dad said it didn't happen, so I believe him.
I mean, you know. I've never been to Auschwitz. I don't know.
I mean, you could tell me that it's there.
I don't know that there's really an Eiffel Tower. I've never been to Paris.
The Great Wall. I mean, if Matt Damon has taught me anything, it's there to keep out giant dragons.
Yes. I had forgotten that was a thing. Please don't remind me anymore.
It could be just an okay wall.
It could be. No, maybe not great.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, subjective.
Meh wall.
Right.
Yeah. So Flatliners, I don't even know if we said how much that made, but $3.3 million in week two. It's a 50% drop, almost $12 million domestic, $3 million overseas. That's 15 on a $19 million budget. It's at number nine. So, rounding out the top 10 with our little Victoria and Abdul injection here, they bumped out American Assassin, sorry, Michael Keaton, and number 10 is Battle of the Sexes. Another one of the movies from last week, you know, but it is more art house. I wouldn't expect Battle of the Sexes to be, you know.
I think that's a solid showing for a movie like that.
$2.3 million in 3 weeks is a 33% drop. It's at $7.5 million, and I don't have a budget on that one, but go listen to the episode last week. We had a couple of great guests
awesome.
On. We had three guests, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so
Paul Harris doesn't count.
Yeah, because we kind of
almost like an auxiliary member.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, and then if you're curious, American Assassin took a 61% drop with 35-ish million domestic. That was on a $33 million budget, and that was the one that was supposed to be like Dylan O'Brien, the Maze Runner kid.
Apparently that movie's coming out.
I know, and yeah, someone in the league, thank you for posting.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I guess they just dropped a trailer, so it is still coming out, which I thought it would be kind of weird to scrap. I guess it was just a long delay. Yeah.
Did he get hurt? Is that what the deal is?
Yeah, he was hurt pretty bad. So,
okay. He was almost Spider-Man. He was one of the last names that was in the Spider-Man hunt.
I just bought that. It's still not out on Blu-ray, but Spider-Man came out 3 weeks early on Vudu. You know, you can buy it, and it's like,
$20
and they give you a $5 credit.
Man,
I think
it's so good.
I just watched it again though for the first time since theaters. It's a great movie.
Holds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I saw it twice in the theater.
So awesome.
I might have seen it twice too. I can't remember, but yeah, it does hold up. I'm like, this is a fun movie, and that Tom Holland, seriously, that kid,
that Tom Holland,
he's good.
He's got something. Doesn't
he does. But you know, I mean, he's pretty new to this. I mean,
I think I looked it up. He's done like a British TV show, and
he was Billy Elliot.
Yeah, he was Billy Elliot.
He was in another movie earlier this year.
Oh, he was in the Lost City of Z.
What was the one that you really liked?
The Owen Wilson one with the flood.
What?
Oh yeah.
He's in that.
The Impossible.
Yeah, he's in that.
Okay. That's a good movie. It's like a tsunami.
Oh, it wasn't a comedy.
No.
I just assumed when you said
I know, because when he started saying that, I'm like, when the hell have I ever liked an Owen Wilson movie?
Oh, yeah. I did like one.
It's flooding outside.
It's like Wedding Crashers. I think that's about it. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people are up in arms. Dustin at Nerds Night Gaming will appreciate that Nathan Drake, he's going to be from Uncharted.
I'm fine with that.
But a young Nathan Drake, right? Because everyone wanted Nathan Fillion for like adult.
He's too chubby.
But you could totally see Nathan Drake as adult. I'm sorry, Nathan Fillion as adult Nathan Drake.
Sure.
But when you look at, like, even in the game, they flash back in the third one to him being a kid and everything, and you see Tom Holland.
Yeah.
And with his charisma, I'm like, that's
Hugh Jackman
money.
As an adult.
old, old Hugh Jackman and old. No, he needs to play The Last of Us, Joel.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because old man Logan. I mean, first of all, not to digress too much, but
too late.
The Last of Us. I mean, Logan is like is, the
yeah,
last
basically.
Of us, right?
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, for sure.
But that's the ooh, box office and video game talk.
Oh well, awesome. Well, thank you.
You're
Dustin.
Welcome.
Raul Julie says hello.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'm Matt Reedy. You can find me at MattReedy219 on Instagram.
Oh, wait, you've already said
I already plugged it. Never mind. You edit that out.
Yeah. Take all this out.
All that.
Take all this out.
He's not going to get a plug next time. He used his two plugs.
Yeah, two.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all we get.
So rude.
Or should we even let him back on next time? I mean, you don't follow the rules.
Sorry, guys. Son of a bee.
Thanks for coming out for the box office report, Matt.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21. I don't have any pictures with James Gunn on my Twitter, though.
Sorry. You should have kind of.
I have Brian Posehn.
You have Brian Spath.
I have Brian Spath and Brian Posehn. Yeah, right.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Should I list all the famous people I have pictures of?
Okay. No, because you've got walls upon walls upon walls of shit.
It's an occupational hazard.
Yeah. Poor you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I wasn't complaining. I'm just saying that it just comes with the territory. Just like you have lots of mugshots.
I don't have lots. It's just the same one over and over.
Oh, is that how that works?
They're just like, we already got one from last week.
Yeah, it hasn't changed that much. No. So also don't forget you can follow the show on Twitter at Real Spoilers or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Jump on over to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Blade Runner 2049, or if you were in the film, Blade Runner 2049. So until then, you've been warned. There ain't no road just like it anywhere I found. The running south with Real Spoilers getting into town. Slipping on by with Real Spoilers, right at Trouble Bound. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.